It's lockout week and we're all scrambling to get our teams ready for the Thursday partial lockout. Today we check in with some important people and give you the tips you need to finalise your squads for round one here on the official AFL Fantasy Podcast.
G'day with the traders, I'm Roy, I coach Destroyer, and I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warn Dogs.
And Calvin.
A very nervous Calvinator.
Well, it's a nervous time because this is the final podcast before the first lockout, boys. I don't know. I'm feeling okay at the moment.
Yeah, you're right.
I did a bit of work today. I made some changes.
Ooh.
Nothing too drastic.
Okay.
Only one guy who I haven't seen all preseason. Number 52, I call him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, snuck into the squad. Into the team. Yeah.
Into right. the squad of
so
51.
There's
the 52nd man.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. Warn.
I've been pretty settled.
Yes.
I think. I released my team last week. A few people saw that over social media. Actually got more positive feedback
Did
than I thought
really?
Of. Because normally people are very quick
they are.
To have a crack at the
No, they're
dog,
not, are they?
Well,
especially you two.
You obviously didn't check the Facebook comments.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people on there know a lot more than you.
Oh, apparently they do.
Yeah.
Apparently they do. I think it was quite a good team, and it's looking pretty good. Okay with my underpriced midfield premium strategy at the moment.
Okay.
But I'm still not completely sold on all the players in my team, and I know things will probably change on Thursday night. So
that's the thing, isn't it? Like, on Thursday night, it is...
Just because of
it's hectic.
What players you've got there at this point.
And you're looking at the rookies. Where's he? He's not named. Yeah. What am I going to do?
Who's that one that's named? Grabbing for the prospectus?
Get
flicking
him.
Through? What did he do as a kid? He's still a kid? What's going on here?
So, this week is a very busy and important week for fantasy coaches because we get our lockouts. And I say lockouts because this is how the week is going to work. Let's start with the most important things that we need to know. Wednesday night,
right,
6:20 p.m. jump on afl.com.au and you'll see the teams for the Tigers and the Blues because they play Thursday night in the opening round. So you'll see those teams as they're named. We will probably see a few names that should be under consideration. Of course, you've got your premiums like Dustin Martin,
yep,
for example. A lot of people are keen on Paddy Cripps, although his ownership has dropped
it
a
has.
Lot since the early days.
I think people wanted to see just a little bit more through JLT.
But those guys, we know they're going to be playing. There could be some guys named that could be on the radar.
Correct.
So, Paddy Dow. People maybe are a little bit, you know, off him a little bit.
Will definitely be named.
260K odd for him.
Yeah.
So, he will be named.
Yeah.
And depending on then the names the next night, does he make your squad?
Yeah, see. Do you go, well, I definitely know.
He's playing.
What about an O'Shea?
Now, that's a big one.
If he pops, he's massive.
If he's named, he's a very good chance to be a member of the Warn Dogs.
If he's named, it just confirms that he is definitely there for a reason.
Mm.
They only needed a quarter out of him in JLT, that would tell me.
It's still
in
just,
which he did dominate.
Still
too.
Just worries
it doesn't
me so
sit
much.
Right, does it?
No, it
no,
doesn't.
It doesn't sit
if you
right.
wanted a guy to be playing in your back line.
His numbers were good last year. He played proper comp.
Yep. If he's named, he's in.
This is where my heart will go from cool, calm, collected, destroy to...
If we've ever seen that in my life, right?
So Wednesday, 6:20, we get the Tigers and Blues teams. Now, on Thursday night at 6 p.m, you need to head to facebook.com/AFL Fantasy Official and you will be able to watch us live and listen to us live because we'll have our regular radio show there live from 6 p.m. So you'll be able to see what's going on. You'll probably see three very nervous, panicky AFL coaches. But from 6 o'clock, we'll be talking fantasy because at 6:20 p.m, that's when the rest of the round teams drop. So those eight other games will drop then. The Sunday teams will have extended benches, but we'll know which players are sitting there that we can potentially be looking at, and it will be mostly about looking at which rookies are named.
Look, and this is the thing. This broadcast, 270K
players.
This broadcast we do, it's PG.
Yeah.
We have to be,
I know.
It's very difficult
for
us.
We haven't done this before.
It's very difficult
on a Thursday,
for us on a Thursday night to keep it PG. So, parents, yes, parent guidance is recommended. Just checking what your kids are up to that night.
We don't want to be booted off air, so we will be good, Calvin.
We're always good, Warn Dog.
I'll just have to find that dump button for you. Anyway, so those teams will be out at 6:20 p.m. It's not long after until the partial lockout kicks in, and that is at 7:25 p.m. So all these times are Eastern Daylight Savings Time, just to make sure everyone's aware of this. 7:25, that's when the Richmond and Carlton game will begin, and those players will be locked. So what that means for your fantasy team, if you've got a Carlton player in it, if you've got a Richmond player in it, they will stay where they are in your team. You cannot bring another one in after that game starts. The other thing is if one of those is a captain or vice-captain, then that's what they will stay as. You can't make someone else the captain or vice-captain if one is clicked on a Carlton or Richmond player. Same goes for emergencies. So basically, it's like lockout, but just for Carlton and Richmond players. Really important to know that. You can keep fiddling with your team. You can keep mucking around with that, ruining it, as what we would probably call it for ourselves, right up until then Friday night at 7:50 p.m. That is when it will be the full lockout. Bombers are taking on the Crows. My boys against your boys.
Oh, bring it on, Noel.
Exciting.
Bring
and it on. That's what's going to happen there.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Sorry, I thought you were waving at me.
Sorry, mate.
All right. Now, the other thing that you do need to know on Friday is at 5 o'clock is that the teams for those Sunday games are finalised. And there's some interesting ones there. Because on Thursday night, we might get excited. Some guys have been named on the bench. And the teams that are playing on the Sunday, GWS.
Yep.
So we might see someone like Langdon, for example, there.
Finlayson.
Yep. Collingwood. Oh, well, Murray, you'd hope that he's named on the ground. You think he might be. Then you've got Melbourne and Geelong. So Fritch, he's going to be there. The Cats have got a few names. We're going to talk about some of them very shortly, I think, that we'll be having a real good look at. West Coast, there's all those forwards up there. That
Sunday game, Roy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, what a worry that
so
is.
So that Friday afternoon, 5 p.m, those teams will be out on afl.com.au. Not long after that will be the late mail. My video will be out.
That's one of the most watched.
It will be.
Need to know videos in Australia.
Better get makeup on for that one. Because
I reckon.
Everybody will be watching.
I'll tune in, dog. I haven't tuned into one yet. I'll tune into this one, I promise.
Good. You should. All right. So they are the dates and the times that you need to know for this week. It's very important. On the weekend, boys, we revealed our traders team.
We did.
Now that came out. And it's an interesting team. It's a good team. I think the structure of it is pretty vanilla, would you say?
It's solid as a rock.
From what I've seen posted on social media, what comes my way via Twitter, it seems a lot of people have either copied the structure or they agree that that is the correct structure, because I've seen a lot of good teams that look very similar to that.
Yeah, and I've seen even people tagging their mates, isn't this your team? your team's identical to this bar two players. Mm. And that's okay, Warndog.
It is.
And that's okay.
So you can check that out at afl.com.au/fantasy. You'll be able to click through there and find that side. We've also posted that on Twitter and Facebook. But that sort of structure we're talking about, we're seeing that there's a fair few rookies or the cheap guys in the back line that we might go for. So we've gone the three big guys that we think will be top six defenders in Laird, Lloyd and Hibbard. And then you've got the Caulfields, Nortons, Murrays, Dodays and also Finlayson back there. There could even be more to come, which we'll talk about very shortly.
It's not traditionally an area where we have multiple options.
No, it's not.
But this year we're spending up back there potentially.
But we think the structure's right with the three big boys there and those three rookies. We were tossing around an idea earlier, Destroy and I, Dog, while you're out of the room.
All right, of course.
Secret boys meeting.
As
about
you do.
Four rookies on your field in the back line.
Hmm.
We quickly decided that probably isn't a great idea.
Right.
But so people out there who are asking about that, three is definitely the number.
Yeah.
And I reckon when we talk to Selby, who's coming up a bit later on, he's got another idea on that.
Right.
Which is also very interesting.
Okay.
In the midfield, we've gone five premiers that we think will be there or thereabouts as the big dogs at the end of the year. And then the three rookies on field include Brayshaw, who I think is the biggest lock of those guys.
Yep.
The ruck lineup, Max Gawn and Sam Jacobs, which I think is becoming the most popular sort of
just
combo. I know that Nick Nat is still there for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And It's looking more
sounds
and more
like he's going to be named.
In the forward line, Billings and Heaney are very popular between for most coaches. And then it's light on there with some rookies as well, sort of Rayner sitting up forward. Mm. I think Fogarty, I don't think he's going to play. And if he does, he's not there for long. So I think we're going to switch him to Fritch. He should be looking pretty good.
Yep. Well, we've got money there and actually make a little bit of coin on a move like that. So that's okay. Fogarty's just holding a spot at the moment.
And that's
holding a spot. Do you know how good that guy is?
Yeah, but he's also playing in the best team in the AFL.
Who fell one
best
game
team
short.
In the AFL.
Yep. Fell one game short. They need something different.
They need to rebuild.
You're right. Rayner can go too. He's just holding a rookie spot there for us.
He feels safe because he's number one. Yeah, so he should play.
You know, but then...
But he does worry me. His scoring output worries me.
He's 100 grand more than Venables.
Mm.
You know,
that is true.
And Venables did score 13 in the JLT, though.
So a bit of story. Key and a bit of strategy from this is that we won't change this a ridiculous amount
from here on.
No. And especially structure-wise, we probably won't
pretty
change
set on it,
anything.
I think, aren't we?
That's all looking pretty good. Well, that is how we are lining up. You can check that out at afl.com.au/fantasy to see how that's looking now. And tune in on Thursday night. We might even talk about what we do, because that's another little thing we'll have to think about Thursday night to make sure that we are set to go for this lockout that's coming up.
On the Traders Podcast, it's time for Breaking News with Warren.
Rightio, breaking news time. A couple of news bits and pieces that we wanted to get out of. This include, for Carlton, first game up, Cruiser, good to go, apparently. I know a lot of people still drafted him as their first ruck in those first couple of rucks. Probably sweating on that a bit. But Ed Curnow said that he's good. He said he's brave.
I didn't know.
So what, he's still injured then, is he?
Well, he said that he's played injured a lot of his career and stuff, so...
Well, he is a brave... Yeah, I love Cruz now.
We'll not be starting him in Classic.
No, you wouldn't, would you? So, if you were going to, this interruption puts a line through him, I think.
Ed's a doctor, is he? Is he?
Yeah, potentially.
And he diagnosed him
judge
as brave.
Curnow also said that Dow's a very good chance to be named. I think that he will be there for the Tigers.
Could have told
Prestia you that. And Hooley are in doubt. So, Hooley, another draft name there that probably went... relatively early.
Yeah, because it dropped off quick.
Defence wasn't good. We'll talk about the Bacon Cup later on.
Oh, jeez. Do we have to?
Now, for the Bombers, Darcy Parrish went in for some mystery scans.
Hang on a second.
And he's doubtful for Friday night, which sucks, because I know a lot of people, he was an option for Classic for a lot of people.
He was. Yep.
Definitely people took him maybe earlier in draft as a bit of a, breakout contender, those sorts of things.
Mystery scan. So he's walked in there and just said, have a guess where to scan.
Yeah, it's like a little mystery prize.
Start at your leg.
Good on you.
Hopefully it wasn't a mystery to Darcy
Parrish.
What a
time waster. Oh, okay, my bad.
Fantasia. Now, he's already on the sidelines. Do you know what this worries me?
Yes.
Devon Smith.
This is
why.
Does
he now have to play forward because you've got two of those sort of mid-forwards.
Without a doubt.
Like those playing there just worries me about starting Devon a bit now.
I don't know. How big are they on playing stringer midfield? They seem to like doing that more than Devon, Devon's better.
Why do they do it?
I'm not sure.
It's just putting a little bit of doubt in my head for a bloke that's priced at about 80, that's going to be a top six forward.
Well, he's not cheap.
No, you could get cheaper.
You could call him a mid-pricer, and now he's a mid-pricer with another question mark. New club. This is big.
Look, I don't want to say it. I called this early. At the start of the season, I called this.
And then he's been in your team for the last few months.
Yeah, he's gone though, Doug. He's gone now after I've seen that.
This is why I had to get player number 52 in.
Another 52.
Because of this.
Right.
Right. The Cats. Now, Cramery won't be playing round one.
Nor should he.
Now, the thing that I do like, and I think he could sneak into our sides, Mark O'Connor has been upgraded because he's an Irish bloke, 21 years old, so he's got that mature age about him. Played a couple of games last year.
He did.
He basically, because he's the B category rookie, has to be upgraded. Normal rookies don't have to be upgraded now. He scored 69 from 69% time on ground in JLT2. You will only pay $193,000 for him. Defender mid. Does he slide onto our bench?
Certainly.
He's better than Dode.
Yeah.
For fantasy.
I think he's got more scoring potential.
You've got pay an extra 23 grand for it, but it'll be worth it.
He'll score more than old mate Naughty Boy, Norton.
Norton.
He'll score more than him.
Yeah.
Norton's good for 50 to 55.
Yeah.
He's also good for job security.
It is. We are paying a lot of money for job security.
What do you think about O'Connor then for job security? Is he going to be okay?
You can't.
For a couple?
You can't be from Ireland and have job security in that team unless you're Zach Tui.
That's correct, Roy.
Can you?
Very much.
Because they're so strong.
They are.
A 21-year-old from Ireland, how can you crack that team? The best 22 in that team.
Well, we yet to know even if he is.
So who's out there? Henderson's out in the back line, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's out for a little while, I think.
He's in. Locked. Job security. Perfect.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Hawks, we know that Birchall's now out until mid-season, which sucks for our little Tassie boy there.
It does.
And especially, it could be a little late, so, like mid-season draft pickup when he's getting close to grab him, because I don't reckon anyone's going to be holding him until then.
No,
so he's one to keep in the back of your mind, maybe to pick up mid-season. Gunston is going to be playing forward.
So, what about the last 5 minutes of quarters? Yeah. Is he still going to have that license
to go back? Is it
going to
be
back?
Enough, though, to get him a decent enough score?
He does work hard back there.
He does work really hard back there.
But, yeah, interesting.
Now, Dee's special draft relevant here is Clayton Oliver. And some people would like to pick him in Classic because he will be a little piglet one day. Him and also Tom McDonald on light duties. Now, there was a right knee knock for Oliver in JLT2, which is what is probably his issue.
Right. So I did not know about that.
Yes, bruised knee.
That's something.
Ed Curno said he's fine.
News out of afl.com.au. And the Eagles, basically Nick Nat, it sounds like he's playing.
This is significant.
This is significant.
But surely Lysett plays with him, which then affects Nick Nat's score.
Oh, and the thing is, though, with Nick Nat,
he's still so cheap.
We've talked about this before. One small issue, and he's on ice the next week.
I agree.
Right, and therefore, how are you going to trade him out of your team, and who would you get in? You're looking at doing an upgrade.
If Nick is named Solo Ruck, he's in.
Wow. No. You don't mean that.
No.
No. Good.
And I think we will see a couple of debutantes there for the Eagles too. So watch out for that on Thursday night. But remember, they are that Sunday game.
That's
so we're not
going to
know really until 5 p.m. on Friday. The last bit of news is we did have our Bacon Cup draft on Friday night, and that was good fun. And probably, I don't know, game faces were on.
Roy, they were really on. It was a very serious room, dog.
I think they want to take it up to us a little bit.
They do.
The other boys do. Interesting there. First up, first pick was obviously Tom Mitchell. They went to Stu, who is a former winner, and he was hosting the evening. Mm. Made some beautiful pulled pork for us.
Wow. Pulled pork.
A bit of pig for the Bacon Cup. We need to have that. And he took Tom Mitchell. I did like his Facebook the next day. He was talking about starting a fantastic relationship with someone.
Oh, yes.
Tom Mitchell, his first round draft pick. And then the last line of it was, also got engaged. Fantastic.
At least he's got his priorities.
Yeah, now, Roy, you think you drafted poorly.
I didn't have my best night, no. I've, in fact, stripped myself of the self-proclaimed best drafter in Australia label.
Right.
So, you know, I've just been bumped down two or three. I, for some reason, I don't know what sort of headspace I was in, but I have just grabbed every guy who has been a massive headache over the last 3 or 4 years. And just put them all together and said, boys, this is your year to switch back on. No one wants that. No one needs that.
Okay.
And that's what I did.
So we spend all preseason, Roy, giving advice on how to set up for draft day and preparations.
Too much advice I gave away.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, too much advice. Like, the draft kit that I wrote was sitting in the hands of everyone in the room next to me.
Yep.
So they were just, like clockwork, plucking the guys that I wanted to pluck.
They did draft well, the
boys.
They did.
Faultless. That's the thing. It was just a very strong draft, so it was hard to fill a good squad.
But what pick did you have?
What I had to do was take, you know, a couple of risks to try to stay competitive there.
And what pick did you have?
Oh, well, it was a really awkward one. It was like 11 or 12, so I didn't have the double,
12.
But I was in limbo.
You got Mitch Duncan, though, which you'd be pretty happy
I'm happy with that. Yep.
So you're lucky that you had Pokey sitting next to you as well, because he was just picking his pies. Like, he took Scott Pendlebury in the first round. See, the only
that's what he does.
Player that took Scott Pendlebury
in the
first round.
That was a good save, actually. It was about to be worse than that, so Poke saved himself with the Pendles. Yeah.
Oh, no. We don't want to know what Pokey might have done. Now, we're all scrambling at the moment because it is lockout week, and what better person we could get on the line than a bloke who has sat through, waiting for round one for a big preseason, just like what we've done, and that is Rodney Rocket Ead. Welcome to the show, mate.
How are you, boys, all right?
Yeah, going well, going well. Although we're a little bit nervous at the moment because you're a bloke that's been there doing the real thing before, and we want to know, do you spend all summer working out your 22 like us fantasy coaches do as well?
You do, actually. You do in your spare time. You tell the players, I know, it'll be on performance, who trains well and who plays well, and we'll pick it on this. But you're sort of in your mind, really, you've probably got 19 or 20 of the 22, and you juggle around, you look at the opposition that you're playing. But, you play with a pen and paper and pick your team, and that changes consistently like it does in the fantasy team as well.
Hey, mate, you've got your best 22 there. You're going into round one. What's your thoughts about bringing players into the first round that are a little bit underdone? Now, I'm talking about, like, a Dane Beams and a Rockcliffe who have missed, basically, the JLT games. What's your thoughts on carrying them into round one?
I think you could probably get away with a star, like a Beams. Rockcliffe's a different one, and really a new club, so it's a big ask. But, you certainly can do that, and it's been done before. The interesting thing this year is, with only two JLT games, if a player's missed one of those, or hasn't had much of a run in the JLT, it's a big ask to carry three or four that haven't had many games, which is more likely to happen this year than any other year because of only the two JLT games. And I don't think a team can carry three or four of them. I reckon the load will go to the others, and therefore that'll have a cumulative effect and that'll be fatigue. So, be interesting. So, say Beams does play, Brisbane then couldn't really afford to carry another two players that haven't had much game time, and probably no more than four or five have only had part of one game. So it'll be interesting to see which way clubs go.
Well, while we're talking about players and injuries, someone you'd know really well is Jager O'Meara. Now, he's underpriced. What are your thoughts on him? Should we be going there, or what do you reckon?
Look, he's got the potential to be a star, and I think what he's shown over the the biggest concern is his body, obviously, and what he's shown over the pre-season and the JLT games and what they've said out of club land, of Hawthorn. But I know clubs can lie, don't you know that? I know that up yet. But it seems as though he's had a really good pre-season. I've spoken to a few guys that are friends with him, and they said that he hasn't missed a beat, and his knee's fine. So I would think the ability that he's got and the toughness he is as a player, I would think that he's very cheap and should be in your team.
Yeah, so you'll pick him?
Yes, he's in my side. Yes, I've got my side here in front of me. I'm all prepared, mate. As I say, coaches are prepared. I've got the team here, so Jager's in. Yes, he's in the team.
All right, thanks.
That's a good thing. Now, I'm sitting next to Roy here, who gives an almighty spray when his players don't do too well. I've seen you fire up a little bit from the coach's box and out on the field and those sorts of things. Any punters actually come up to talk to you? Any fantasy coaches come to give you a bit of a spray as well because of any decisions you've made?
Not as yet. There's a couple on Twitter that have sort of questioned my
sorry.
Capability and knowledge, so I'll take that on board. But they haven't given a spray as yet, so I'm always qualifying my ability to pick a fantasy team because of the fact of I haven't played it a lot, so I'm trying to give myself an out, give myself a crutch at the moment, but I'm certainly prepared to wear that. If someone wants to give me a bake on that, I'll take that on board.
I'm not going to give you a bake, but I probably would have maybe, I think it was last year or the year before, when Aaron Hall, he was scoring us hundreds back-to-back, week in, week out, and all of a sudden, Rocket, for some reason, you drop him out of nowhere. Can you explain to all of us what was going on with him?
Yeah, something came out, the leadership group players came to me and they wanted him out of the side.
Really?
So, yep.
No way.
So I can let that, there was a few frustrations with his game, which was, match committee were thinking anyway, and probably not to drop him, but we're close. And
what were they frustrated about?
So we took that on board and knew where there was a bit of anxiety amongst the group, and so we had a good discussion. The players had a chat with him, and that was the reason he missed that week.
Well, they probably should have consulted me, Rocket, because I had him in my team and he was scoring me hundreds.
There's a greater game being played here, and I understood that. So, unfortunately, I couldn't get it over the line.
Oh, perfect. Now, let's think about some of the strategy for this year for different clubs. The one ruck strategy is something we want to see more of because it means our ruckman will get more time around the ball. Where do you think clubs will go? Like, is it going to become more of a one ruckman per team type thing?
Oh, yeah. I certainly predicted that a couple of three years ago. Unless you got two really good ones, or the second one has got to be able to play forward because... I think your initial point's right about the play around the ball. Most ruckmen, if not all ruckmen, get better as the game gets going. They need continuity in the game. They need more than 70%. You give them 50-50, they dilute. So I think the case in point is probably Cox and Grundy.
Mm.
Grundy's a very good ruckman and plays better when he's 80% on the ball.
We've been talking about that.
He's not quite there at the moment as a ruckman, but he looks like he's got real potential to be a threat up forward or certainly a nuisance because of his height, and he's quite a good kick and he can give some relief in the ruck. But most ruckmen, and they're very good ruckmen, just have to play most of the time on the ball. You ever look at Jacobs, he's hitting 98% of the ball.
Yeah.
So, they don't change pace. They just get to the contest and that's where their value is, and they can take a mark and that can be a target for them, but they certainly get a contest, which it's a heavily stoppage game at the moment because of the congestion and numbers, and if you've got a good ruckman, you need him around the ball all the time.
We have tried to explain that to a few clubs, Rocket, so I'm glad you're on board with us there. Now, a burning question. There's three underpriced premiums that are really popular at the moment. People are finding it really hard to split. Who would you pick out of Joel Selwood, Patrick Cripps, and Stephen Canelio if you could only pick one?
I've got all three in.
do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've got all three in. I think, like, I've always liked Joel Selwood as a player and have had him in fantasy teams. I think Caniglio and Cripps have got greater upside. So, and Caniglio didn't play many games last year, so he probably may have a bigger upside or maybe a bigger cash cow as far as his growth might be more. So, but I can imagine Cripps will certainly be the number one fielder. So both being young, and there's probably equal growth for both of those players, I think. But if I had a choice, I'd probably go Caniglio.
Rightio, I think you've covered all three of them.
We'll get all three in.
Just over the pre-season, mate, just before we let you go, did you see any rookies that you think will make, a round one game and, more importantly, hit the scoreboard for us?
I followed Sam Murray quite well. I actually pushed his name up at the Suns to recruit. So when Collingwood got him, I followed with interest. So I don't know why he didn't play JRT first game. He may have been injured, but his form in the JRT too, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a game and scores okay because he's got some really good skill set. I think Norton, obviously everyone probably looking up, defender, and obviously Doty as well, seems to be an underpriced defender. Nick is obviously the darker kid, whether it's Dow and Davey, if you're happy with it. But Kelly seems to be a good price. Holman of the Suns, he's not a rookie as such, he's played before, but Banfield at Port is a good one as well. And apparently the coach at Melbourne loves young Fritz, so he might be in for a round one game as well.
Beautiful. Well, we are piecing together our team as you are right up until this lockout, making sure it's going well. If anyone's got any questions, I'm sure they can hit you up on Twitter at FacingChange26. You've been taking the Twitter world by storm.
It's funny, you've done a couple of games and then the fantasy people jumped on as well. So, people may be in a determined way. I haven't tried to be critical or too much. I'm just making observations about where people can improve and teams can improve and what their thinking may be. So hopefully that people take it in the right way.
That's
right
definitely way. A good thing. Everybody is embracing that. And I hear a little whisper that we might be embracing something else. I hear that you're going to be recording a podcast.
Oh, you're clever. You've got some good context. yes, that's in the mix at the moment. So it might hopefully be an announcement later in the week.
Ooh, nice.
So well done, guys. You worked well on that one.
We've got a scoop there. That's what we're all about here on the official AFL Fantasy Podcast. Thanks so much for being with us today, Rocket. You are a champion, and we will be hitting you up for some tips, and we'll be interested to see how your team goes this year in 2018. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. guys. Appreciate the chat.
Now, lads, we are going to start talking probably one of the more important parts of our team structure, and that is maybe the popular players. Now, I've put together a bit of a team, which you'll be able to see on the stuff about this article on afl.com.au, and I've put together the team that is basically made up of the most vanilla players ever.
All right.
Almost the top, maybe 35 it is, even less it could be, mm-hmm. most selected make up this side. So we talked about our team, the Traders team, and it looks pretty similar.
It does.
And that's Laird, Yo, our Lloyd. Job, then. Laird, Yo and Lloyd. So Yo replaces Hibbard, we've got there. In the midfield, it's going Titch, Danger, Dusty. So going very big. Fife is huge. Now, is Fife just not on our radars at all?
Oh, he is slightly on my radar. For some reason, I haven't brought myself to do it. But I still say this. That year, he won the Brownlow. So people are feeling he's peaked at that 105.
Mm. Yep.
Mids weren't scoring as big then. The whole league wasn't scoring as big then. The game has changed a little bit, and he's going to embrace that.
Yeah.
Like, he can be that 110 guy, I think, and he's, what, 97 average he's priced at.
Yeah, it's amazing, really.
So I think he's got 13-point upside. But right. No, I don't have him.
Mm. Jager, we don't have either.
We don't. He did nothing wrong all preseason.
Rocket likes him. Rocket's got him.
Rocket likes him and has him. Exactly right.
Look, has my negativity about him rubbed off on you guys?
Possibly.
Have I?
Yeah, possibly.
Influenced the room?
Possibly.
What, I don't want
okay,
to do
what's
that.
He going?
Too much group thinking here.
That's
times.
It.
So he's priced. This is the joke. This is what you actually need to stop and think. He's priced at like 64.
Mm, yeah.
What's he going to average? 90?
Well, he's definitely 20 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely 84 plus.
So why such a low team? Risk. I don't know.
Is it because around that midfield, you're either going straight to the top with your Zach Merritts and your Dusties and the big boys,
yeah,
or you're going for that value premium, like a Luke Parker, Treloar, and Neil? Are you going for that sort of a group?
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like common sense to leave such a bargain out. Like, a part of the game, we get caught up in guns and rookies. A part of the game is just sheer value as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sheer value.
Yep.
I need to make room for that.
I think we've really gone hard on guns and rookies this year, haven't we?
I know, possibly too far.
But that's probably because the rookies were paying a lot more for than we have in the past.
That's true.
I'm sure we've had more basement price rookies coming through.
Yeah, in the past. I would agree with
you're
that.
You're probably right. We look at this, and even in this most popular side that we're looking at, on field, Sam Murray, Doudé, Banfield, and then that is all that are the basement price.
Wow.
Okay. So structure-wise for that there, so after O'Meara at M5, then it's Brayshaw, Kelly, Banfield. Rucks are gone, and Nick Nat, and Nick Nat's there because I think a lot of people I probably haven't touched their teams a lot and just waiting for this week. But as well, if he is named, he's still going to be very popular, and for a good reason, because he is so cheap. 417 grand for Nick Nat if he is named. I'm not doing it, like we mentioned before.
So you can get O'Meara and Nick Nat for the price of Titch.
Yeah. Less. You get change.
You know what?
You had to buy some mixed lollies after
he'd
that as
score
well.
Them both.
He will. That is true as well.
Yeah. Especially as captain. Now, in the forward line, Lance Franklin is up there with Billings and Heaney, Devon Smith at F4, then it's Christensen. So that's another one of those mid-price players.
What are you thinking with him?
I'm out.
Are you?
Yep.
I'm in.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I've gone a combination here, so I've been out.
So where's he sit for you? F what?
Four for me.
Four.
Right. So
thing is with him,
because in this vanilla team, he's sitting at F5.
Yeah, so he's only 330. You know, that's just
a glorified rookie.
It's a very glorified rookie.
Yeah. It's a rookie that's averaged 80 three times.
We're talking
that. What's he going to average this year? That's the thing. We always talk about how much they've averaged in the past. Like, where's he going to be? 70?
70.
70, I'm happy with that. We're talking about O'Meara here as a bargain.
Yep.
He's $110,000 less.
He's a lot better. O'Meara's a lot better.
He's a lot better, yep.
O'Meara's more chance to go from 70 to 100 than Christensen. So what's that price him at? So, I don't know.
Even the fact you've just mentioned 100 in the same sentence as O'Meara means we are on another planet if we're not picking him.
Yeah.
Why aren't we? Are you scared of him being injured?
Yeah, I think also for me, very handball happy. I think he's going to need 30-plus touches a game to crack 95.
Guy averaged like 90 in his first 2 years.
He'll start tackling more.
Body's 90. Right.
He's not wearing strapping tape anymore, Calvin.
Oh, I didn't know that. And you know how much I love strapping tape, yes. Warn Dog.
I don't know, boys. It's one we have to keep looking at, I think.
I don't think we've crossed it off yet. As you said, Roy, in the preseason, he did nothing wrong.
No.
Like, he was in our traders team.
Yeah.
Leading into JLT. Mm. And then at the end of the JLT, he was out.
After, like, laying nine tackles and stuff.
Yeah. Now, Rainer Fritsch... Rainer's on the field, but Fritsch and Rioli on the bench. Rioli probably unlikely to play. I think he's injured, isn't he, at the moment?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Being down.
Other blokes on the bench there. Smith from the D's is on a lot of backline benches. Don't bank on that because he's injured as well, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, you're just going to have to keep your ears to the ground and definitely tune in on Thursday night for our show. Also, an article will be up on afl.com.au this week with some of the better rookie options to have a look
How
at.
How many guys do you have on your ground from that team at the moment, do you reckon? Is it a fair chunk or...?
Yeah. Midfield's quite different for me.
Yeah.
But, like... A lot of the draftees, the rookies there, I'm probably at least half of them.
Yeah, I'd be eight
at
or nine.
At least half.
Yep.
Yep.
So, very interesting.
Calvin?
Oh, probably all of them, one dog.
We've got a very special guest on the line. We've been talking about all the popular players in fantasy. This is the most popular fantasy coach out there. He is the winner from last year, and this is Selby Leestier. Welcome to the show once again, mate.
Cheers, Warren. Thanks for having me again, mate.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, just off the top, congratulations on what you did in this pre-season, putting together a spreadsheet, and you made a fair bit of money for the Starlight Foundation.
Yeah, no, it was a good result. I obviously put a lot of time into my fantasy and a fair bit of research, so I thought myself, rather than it all becoming a complete waste of time, I might as well make the most of it and make it available to other keen coaches out there who want to sort of see some insights in terms of what I look at. So it was very, very well received. I was pretty overwhelmed and got up to $6,500, which will go to the Starlight Foundation. And I just found out today that that's the amount an average Starlight wish costs for a sick family to go and make their wish come true. So yeah, pretty overwhelmed with the support and looking forward to seeing what comes from that.
Oh, that's awesome, mate. And on behalf of the fantasy community, well done. That is a great thing. And everyone is loving the spreadsheet too. So how has your pre-season been? Has this been probably one of the most hectic of your career as a fantasy coach?
Oh, yeah, for sure, mate. It almost feels like it didn't finish, to be honest with you. As you know, we caught up at the grand final and had a few commitments there and with the record, and that led into Christmas, which is when I've started going to work on this spreadsheet. So it's certainly... I've done a full pre-season, if you want to put it that way, and certainly looking forward to hurry up and the game started so we can put it to work.
Now, hey, it's Roy here. Selby, how are you, mate?
G'day, Roy. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Now, I've just been having a bit of a look at my team, and I'm playing it pretty safe at the moment. I reckon it's pretty vanilla. What are your thoughts this year? Are you going to play it safe or have a bit of a crack?
I think I'll have a crack, so... I hear a lot of people talk about their vanilla teams and teams which do look vanilla, but they're certainly vanilla for a reason, and it's because they are good players, good price players, and probably the most likely to perform players. So if you do have a vanilla team, it's not a bad thing. It just means you've selected pretty well, and obviously the intel and information getting around about these days are pretty spot on. So people certainly on the page, and I see no reason why with that vanilla team you certainly be up there in your league and winning your league. Not that I know what it's like to win a league, but doing well in your league and coming top 10, 5, 1,000 in the comp, even top 100, to be honest with you. But to differentiate from the rest of those, you do need to do a few things differently. So I'm actually going to take a bit of a punt, I think, and structure up slightly differently, which obviously I could fall on my sword and come 20,000 and look like an idiot, or hopefully go for glory and try to go back to back.
All right, mate. Let's
two cars in the garage.
Let's, let's cut the rubbish here and let's get straight to it. Who am I picking in my team? And can you give me a full squad of 30 I can have of yours, or can you give me one player that you think is a bit of a player of difference at the moment? After this, you probably won't be, but maybe a guy that you're even considering.
Yep, player of difference. So I've mentioned to you before, Calvin, how to be different, you don't actually necessarily have to pick someone at real low ownership. It could just be avoiding
yep.
someone with a higher ownership.
Okay.
And with your ownerships too, so you see, I think Maxie Gawn, he's at almost 50%, isn't he? 45%.
He's up there, yep.
Whereas, to be honest with you, anyone who's half decent having a crack at this fantasy will be owning Max Gawn. So out of probably the top 10% of the comp, 20,000 people, I'd imagine that 90% would own Max Gawn. So you could almost double these ownership numbers, which you're seeing.
Yeah.
So
you don't have Max Gawn?
No, I've got Max Gawn. Right.
I think you've missed my question here, mate.
What? No, going back to you is unique. So someone who has like a 2% ownership would still have probably a 4% ownership in that top 20%. So I've been pretty keen on Toby McLean. I was a Dale House owner for most of last year and was frustrated watching this bloke McLean getting all the midfield time, and I was on the bad end of the stick with Dale House, so I've opted to go for the jump on McLean this year, and by all means Murphy's Law is probably going to mean Dale House will get the midfield time, but he's probably my most lowest ownership
player. Yeah, okay. And what about a player then that you're avoiding?
A player that I'm avoiding, my team still yet to be set in stone, but the big flip of the coin, which could go one
come
or
on
two
mate
ways,
just tell us
would be a Laird.
Oh, okay. Right, I'll just go fix that now.
No, I don't look like an idiot because there's every chance I'll probably start the season with Laird in my team. Cause the toss up is between him and Elliot Yeo, who's a big favourite of mine. And I think he's got more potential to go real big, like we saw with Doherty last year, but obviously interrupted pre season, hasn't found me away in the NAB Cup, so I'm sorry, JLT, so I'm still tossing a coin between the two of those players at the moment.
Does the talk of Yeo playing forward concern you?
Yeah, that's another one. That's another cherry on the top. So, obviously, he's great down back. He loves his easy. Well, he does have marks,